Asaib Bateves, Thursday the 5th of January, by Yosef Perlman, Asaib Bateves.
Right. The month of Teves is a difficult month, and the Maharal points out that any extremism causes danger. A lesson we can probably learn very, very politically at the present time. What he says is that where you have the spring and the autumn, where the days and the nights are equal, then you have Pesach and Gula, you have the Yerech Sonim, you have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, all the really good times. But when you go to extremes, so the night in the winter is extremely long, and then in the summer the day is extremely long, then we have tragedy and problems, because we have the time of the Churban in the summer, the Tisha B'Av, 3 weeks. And in the winter we have the month of Teves, with Asaib Bateves in the thick of it. Now, the whole of the month of Teves has been problems in time of history. There are all sorts of things which happened in Rosh Chodesh. I think Yechoniah was captured. On the 20th, the Rambam passed away. There's also a whole list. Obviously, in any month that's going to be good and bad, but in Teves has been particularly bad. And it's possibly, as we'll see, for that reason that the survivors of the Holocaust, who could not find the date of their dear ones who had passed away, but they knew they'd passed away and didn't have any specific date, although many people chose a particular date which was dear to them, but the arrangement came about that anybody who does not have a yahrzeit from the Holocaust would choose Asaib Bateves to be that yahrzeit. That was the convention. Now, if you the particular part of Teves that was mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch in Tov Kuf Pei is the 8th, the 9th, the 10th, of course, is not mentioned in that siman because the 10th is a public fast, but the 8th and the 9th are also considered to be fasts. The 8th is because of the translation into the Greek, and there are actually two masim which are mentioned, the of Talmai. The one mentioned in the Megillah is a very fascinating machlokus. I think I've made the reference here just to it, between, on the one hand, the Goz Yabetz, who says this was the a meister which actually caused the fast eventually. It was a tragedy. And the Alkum Ma'amlois, and probably the Rishash and Sanhedrin, who hold that this was a completely different meister. That meister was a good one. The Nafka Minna actually is to the question of whether or not one can translate the Torah and the Gemara into English, like Sonsino or Art Scroll. The probability is that, provided the kavana of translating is Ritzuya, the kavana is in order to understand the Torah, and more people should be involved in the Torah, that's fine, that's a very, very welcome thing, which is blessed. If, on the other hand, the purpose is just to comparison with Greek philosophy, and to show the differences between the Torah and the foreign religions, etc., then it's a terrible tragedy. And this is really the essence of the difference between the Art Scroll translation, which has been a big brocha, and the translation of the Talmai, which was considered to be a tremendous tragedy for Klal Yisrael. Now, that took place on the 8th. On the 9th, we have the Shulchan Aruch says it was the death of Ezra, and if you're listening to the Piyut this morning, or saying the Piyut carefully, you'll remember that in the Piyut, and it tells us about the three tragedies which took place in this particular time. The first one being the translation into Greek, the second one being the death of Ezra, and the third one being Asaib Bateves. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says he doesn't know what happened on the 9th. And the Taz points out, yes, but we know that Ezra died on the 9th, so why is it that the Shulchan Aruch didn't know? Now, I'm actually very perplexed as to whether or not the Beis Yosef had seen that piyut. That piyut was written by a Rabbi Yosef Toiv Elam. In modern terminology, you call him Joe Goodman. Rabbi Yosef Toiv Elam. And but he was clearly at the time of Rabbeinu Gershom, he was even before the Bali Tosa. So he was well known. But whether his piyut was known or not is not so clear. I mean, obviously the Chiddush Torah got around, but whether or not His Puritan were known throughout the world. It wasn't like today where you've got internet and you've got all sorts of communications systems, etc. In those days, it was all Kisveyad. And whether or not Bez Yosef had ever seen that period, I'm not sure. It's possible he had never seen it, in which case, that's why he didn't know the reason. On the other hand, he may well have seen the period and disagreed with it. He might have said, look, the death of Ezra is not sufficient to create a tinness. Why Davka Ezra and so many people?
We don't have the same period.
But we have that period. He was a Sephardi, so did he have a different period? Fair enough, but the period may well have been known. I don't know what the position is there. But now, there's a lot of Torah written about the 9th, and all the future tragedies which took place on the 9th. There's if you want to follow it up, you can look in the Mavakshi Torah Chelik Beis. I think I put the reference down here for it. And you can follow all the different tragedies which took place on the 9th of Tevis. Some say that Oso Ha'ish was born on that date, and that's one of the reasons they weren't able to even mefarsim it. And there were many other tragedies. One tragedy which I hope will turn out not to be a tragedy was I was born on the 9th of Tevis as well. I share a birthday with someone whom I don't want to mention. the purpose of today was to deal with the 10th of Tevis. But what we can see is that the 8th and the 9th and the 10th and the whole month of Tevis was a time of great tragedy. Now what happened on the 10th of Tevis, as it's well known, it was that the siege was laid for Yerushalayim by Nebuchadnezzar. For 2.5 years, they were under siege, and they were kept by the underground water springs, which you can probably, if you go for a tour of Yerushalayim, you can be shown them. And that kept them going for 2.5 years. But why? Because probably some of the deeper meaning is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the Yidden plenty of time to be able to do tshuva. They had 2.5 years in which to do it, and they still couldn't do the tshuva. Therefore, came along the breach of the walls on Shavuos HaBetamuz, followed by the Churban HaBayis in Tisha B'Av, followed by the death of Gedaliah, which was the final seal on Rosh Hashanah, but we can't have a fast on Rosh Hashanah, so it was pushed off until the 3rd. So these are the 4 classic fasts which are well known, and the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about these 4 fasts. It says, if it's a time of Sholom, then it'll not be a fast, it'll be a days of great Simcha. If it's a time of Gzeres HaMalchus, then it'll be a time of Tzom. What happens if it's intermediate? Neither one nor the other, just intermediate, then it says the Gemara rot, so it's a choice as to whether to fast or not. What is meant by Sholom and what is meant by a Gzeres HaMalchus is a machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban. The Makor is written on the sheet here. I'm not going to go into that, but it is. It basically means it, when the times are good and clouds are over, it's based on Migdash and everything's working well, these will be days of great Simcha. However, when things are not going as they should, according to one opinion, is when the base of Middash has been destroyed, and according to another opinion, when the Klal Yisrael are under foreign domination, then it'll be a difficult time. When it's neither one nor the other, you've got a choice. Comes along. The Gemara says, however, but Tisha B'Av is different, because Tisha B'Av huchpulu atzoros, and therefore that you have to fast under all circumstances, unless it's a time of Sholom, when, of course, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and then Tisha B'Av will become a Moed, and it will become a happy day. But the other fasts, it's a choice. However, the Poskim say, Hoigno, nowadays, Klal Yisrael have taken these things on as a chiyuv, and if you look at the Loshna of the Shulchan Aruch, chayovin, today we are all chayov to fast. It hasn't quite got the chumras of Tisha B'Av, certainly not of Yom Kippur, but nonetheless, we have taken upon ourselves the fasting aspect, which starts from the morning and it goes until the evening. That's how Asor HaBetavis fits into the picture. However, in one way, Asor HaBetavis could actually be more serious even than Tisha B'Av. It's a remarkable thing. Now, how does this go? The Shulchan Aruch says that any fast which falls on Shabbos is nidchet to the Yom Rishon, even Tisha B'Av. Obviously, it doesn't apply to Yom Kippur because there's a pasuk which teaches us that Yom Kippur is Doka Shabbos from this point of view. But Tisha B'Av, even Tisha B'Av, could be a nidchet. says the Mishnah Berurah, love Davka, all the four fasts. Why? Because it's impossible for our son of a tailor to fall on a Shabbos. So since it's impossible, and it says all the fasts, it's excluding a son of Batavis because it never fell on a Shabbos. Now, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch in a different point, I've got the reference in the sheet here, you'll see it tells us that a son of Batavis can fall on a Friday. None of the other fasts can fall on a Friday, but it can't fall on a Shabbos. And the Beis Yosef quotes a fascinating Avudraham, and he says, Avudraham says that had it been possible for Asar HaBatavis to fall on Shabbos, he would have had to fast. And he says, you can't understand this, Avudraham, it doesn't make any sense. How can it be worse than Tisha B'Av? How can Asar HaBatavis actually be worse than Tisha B'Av? It's implicit from the Avudraham that when Chachamim were koveya the calendar, they particularly avoided Asar HaBatavis falling on Shabbos, because if it had fallen on Shabbos, he'd have to fast. Says the Beis Yosef, it doesn't make sense. And as far as he's concerned, he says it would be good. You can see from Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, he says all four fasts would be nidcha, implying that had it fallen on Shabbos, it would have been nidcha. But the Avudraham holds, no, if it had fallen on Shabbos, it wouldn't have been nidcha. Just similarly to the Yom HaRovo, they made it in the calendar, the Hashanah Rabbah could never fall on a Shabbos, and that's why Yom Kippur can't fall on a Tuesday, because had it Hashanah Rabbah fallen on Shabbos, you wouldn't have been able to bring the HaRovo, and Chazal Tzal didn't want that. They wanted to make quite sure that you could bring the HaRovo every year. So they made the calendar in such a way it didn't happen. So it's implicit from the Avudraham, that's exactly why Bizman HaZeh, the Chachamim made the calendar in such a way that some of the days can't fall on a Shabbos. But had it fallen on Shabbos, you would have had to keep it. And that's a clear. Why should a son of Batavis have such chumas that even Tisha B'Av doesn't have? And believe it or not, there's a brilliant raya from the Aris Sameach in his tremendously mechudishtik way. He quotes the Gemara in Erev in Daf Mem, which says, the Gemara says, what would be the din if on Friday you have a Bar Beirav who has to be, should he be mashlim his tainis? This man has taken on himself to make a tainis, and he took it on, it comes out on a Friday for some reason. Is he chayyeh to be mashlim his tainis because it's already Shabbos? Can he eat as soon as Shabbos comes in, or does he have to wait until it says Zekul Chavim when Shabbos already is a bit later?
Excuse me, can you repeat that?
He says like this. The Gemara says, Bar Beirav, if you've got a person who's taken upon him a neder for a tainis, and that turns out on a Friday, is he chayyeh to be mashlin the tainis into Shabbos, or can he just stop? It's over. Shabbos is doich, the tainis and finished. Why, for what's friend, the Gemara from Bar Beirav asked him a son of a tevis? It could have asked him a son of a tevis. Elamai is a raya that if a son of a tevis which falls on a Friday, the Gemara never had a shayla. There would be no shayla for that. Because there it would be Doche Shabbos. As we know, if it fell on Shabbos, it would be Doche Shabbos. So if it falls on a Friday, it's still also Doche Shabbos to that limited extent. So he says it's a brilliant raya to the shita of the Avudraham that there is a chiyuv even to fast on Shabbos of us. Now, how can that be? It's very, very difficult to understand, but one thing is clear, that Asar HaBatavis is very, very serious in a certain way. Now, the Chasam Sofer has many drushes in his Torah Smosha and elsewhere. There are also drushes Chasam Sofer. But in his Torah Smosha, he talks at the end of the Parshas of Vayigash about this problem of Asar HaBatavis. And he's reputed, I haven't actually seen it myself, Mafush, I have looked through it, and it's quoted from him there. I didn't have a chance to go bemind every single drosha. But what he's quoted, he says, is like this. He says, Tisha B'Av and Shavuot HaBetamos are basically fasts relating to the past. It's all the history of what happened. Of course, there's a function for us for the future. But basically, it's commiserating with what happened in the past. And the din is, on Shabbos, you can't have Avelis. You're not allowed to be misabel on something which has happened already. That you're not allowed to do. You can't sit down and mourn and be miserable on Shabbos in Avelis. So therefore, just as an oval has no din of Avelis on Shabbos, or Avelis, similar, there might be certain rules. But the actual being misabel and crying on Shabbos is out of the question. Similarly, Tisha B'Av and Shavuot sometimes you can't. However, there is one tiniest that you are allowed to make on Shabbos, and that's a tiniest chalom. Why? Because tiniest chalom is not relating to the past. Tiniest chalom is you've just had a bad dream, and you want to be mesakin for the future, you want to feel better for the future. So you're not looking only at the past, you're looking to what's going to happen this week in Nitin, that is bad chalom, and you want to be mehapeh, you want to change the chalom from bad into good. So then you are allowed to fast on Shabbos. So says the Chasam Sofer, from what I heard, that it means that the fast of Asarah B'Tavis is not just a fast for the past, like the others. It's actually a fast for the future. The idea being, since this was the Haschonas HaTzoros, this was the very beginning of the Tzoros, when Klal Yisrael were given a full period of 2.5 years to be masakin it, it was as if to say, this is the fast on which you've got the opportunity of putting things right. It's not just, the fast hasn't happened yet. There's been a siege, but there's been no damage caused, not like Shavuos B'Tamuz or Sarabatez when there was a complete destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, or Tzom Gedalia when Gedalia was killed. There was just simply a beginning of things that could go wrong. And therefore, that fast was a masakin, that fast, not just for the past, it was a masakin for the future too. But not only for the future of that dor, it's for the future of every dor. And therefore, it makes sense on the Sort of a tapas that we confess, because it should bring us back to Teshuvah, it should bring us back to the way we want to go. Now, of course, there are difficulties with that, but the Chasam Sofer says it, and I'm told he says it, and it's a typical way of reconciling the irreconcilable. But otherwise, you can have great difficulty in understanding why it should be Doruch HaShabbos. It also, by the way, will help a little bit to understand why we've chosen the Asarah B'Tavis as the day for the Holocaust survivors, because it means this is the day for the future rather than a day for the past. Now, the purpose of the Tainasim, the Dalet Tainasim, obviously, it is all these four Azeichel Chulgam, but if you take that as the only purpose, it's historic, you're making a big mistake. All the Poskim tell us that the purpose of these Tainias is to do Teshuvah, to be Masak in ourselves, and make sure that we change our ways. And otherwise, as the Mishnah Berurah puts it, it says lokach es ha-tofel v'heniach es ha-ikka. If all you're doing is fasting, but you're not really thinking about the churban, and you're not thinking of how we can improve ourselves, as somebody put it, means you've taken the wrapping and left you've taken the wrapping and left the present behind.
That's what you've done. Because well,
but that's I'm not speaking Arabic today, thank you. Anyhow, so the purpose, therefore, of the Tainasim, which is also set down here somewhere, Kavonis HaTainis, the Mishnah Berurah says, Lefakeach al darkei tshuva. It's a bit more arichus there, but that's basically the point. Another makor, bechi v'tzar v'aminas haslichus v'zichron ha'moros ha'ros l'halos kol ze alibo kol rega shel ha'tainis. It's the whole of the time, so we should be concerned with these inyanim. Now, just as a gematria aside, this is what I heard from Mordechai Potash Shlito, who was it was in the Sunderland Cheder in my days about 60 years ago. He came from Manchester often for weekends, and he's now become a big person in Eretz Yisrael. He mentioned the following interesting gematria. He says, look, if you take the Dalad Tzomos, now remember the Dalad Tzomos are mentioned in Sefer Zechariah without giving any particular date or any names, they're just the Dalad Tzomos. That's where we know them from. It's quoted in Rosh Hashanah, Dalad Tzomos. Tzoim HaRevi, Tzoim HaChamishi, Tzoim HaShavi, and Tzoim HaAsiri. Add those four numbers up, 4 plus 5 plus 7 plus 10 is 26. 26 is, of course, the Shem Havaya, which is ever an indication that these months are to do with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not being paid sufficient attention to. But it goes further than that. If you now take the dates which we keep, the dates that we keep are from the time of the Tanakh, it looks as though the dates were not fixed. There could be different dates. And the Gemara has an argument as to whether Asarah should be on the 5th or should be on the 10th. And Shivasa B'Tammuz is a whole tumult as to whether it was Kitliniskalklua Cheshbonis and it should have been on the 12th instead of on the 17th. Originally that was okay. And in fact, originally it's possible you could pick any date within the month in which to fast, which has a bearing on the Ashayla we'll come to in a couple of seconds. But Lemaisa is now being set, and as the Shulchan Aruch Paskins nowadays, these are the dates. What are the dates? The 17th of Tammuz, the 9th of Av, 17 plus 9, 26. The 3rd of Tishri, that makes it 29. And Asara B'Tavis 10, that's 39. 39 is Hashem Echrod. So you've got the months give you 26 in Shem Havaya, and the dates give you 39, which is Hashem Echad. And if you put the two together, 26 and 39, everybody knows that 65, which is the Shem Adonis. So we sing that the whole mahus of these Tainasim, in Remez, of course, is relevant to the Inyan of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, where do we see this? This is something which is worth knowing. The Baal HaTurim points out that in the Teuchecha, we have 26 times the Shema Vaya, and therefore the 26 times the 26 becomes a big kitrug against Klal Yisrael. It's a terrible pressure if we're not serving Hashem. What's the tikkun? Says the Baal HaTurim, the tikkun is Shmoin Esra. Because in Shmoin Esra we have 26 times the Shemus, and each time you say the Shema Vaya, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're knocking off one of the klolos. The truth of the matter, if you count them up, we've got 28 Shemus, but it's not a problem because the Baal HaTurim is leaving out Velam HaShin, which wasn't initially part of the order, and therefore that doesn't count. That's one left out. And if you look at the Baal HaTurim's edition of V'Hashuv Shavtenu, he doesn't say the Shem in that particular bracha. We do, but he didn't. So he had his 26 Shemus in Shemayin Esra, and the 26 Shemus help each one to knock off the one of the Shemus. And this, not many people know, but they should know, Yichavod has the same time, 26 times 26. And as well known, the very famous vort, that when we daven, we all daven our different ways, Svad, Ashkenaz, etc. But we all come together on Shabbos of Yichavod, and we all say Yichavod together. And the famous vort, when is the Kavod Shemaim? When we're all Beachdus. When the whole Klal Yisrael comes together, then we have the real Kavod Shemaim. But what people don't know is these psukim, if you take the Rosh Tevis of these psukim, the first four Rosh Tevis, we give you 260, which is 10 times the Shem Havaya. The second six give you another 260, which is 10 times the Shem Havaya. And the last six give you 6 times the Shem Havaya, which is, by the way, Yosef is Gematria, so that 156 times Shem Havaya, whose name is Antiochus and Melech Yavon, and the Nistar of the word Shemin. There's a whole lot of Remes here in that number 156. But if you take all the Rosh Hashanahs of the whole of Yichavod, we have 26 times 26. So we say that before Ashrei, because when a person says Ashrei properly, is a Ben Olam Abo, so the Hakdomah is that. But there's more to it, because if you take, after those 26 times 26 Rosh Hashanahs, the very last Pasuk of Yichavod has exactly the same gematria as the Pasuk of Shema, which is 1118, and Shema has, again, the number, it's 43 times 26, which is the smallest number into which you can divide, factorize, both the Shem and the Elohim. It's just remarkable what's going on here in the Olam HaNista. But the point I'm trying to make from all this is that the Shem Havaya can be protect us, but he can also come to be Mekatreg against us. And therefore, if we have to return to the Shem, that's the message of these Tzoymas. If we will return to Hashem, then Hashem, instead of banging us and punishing us, if you look through the Piyot, he's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he did to us, all because he wants to be Mesaked our Averus. So we return back to Hashem, that's the purpose and the Kavana of the Tainus in itself. Now, to finish off with, I would like to just mention two fascinating shilas which you can think about. What would be the din if somebody broke his fast by accident? What's it in? You forgot it was a sorbetavis, or whatever the reason, you took a bite and you ate it. And what should you do?
It has to carry it.
Quite clearly, the psak is, the Mishnah Berurah says, because somebody has done one avera, should he continue to do more averas? It's an interesting expression which he uses. It's written down here. Demisha ochal shum, yachzor v'yochal shum. Somebody who ate garlic, which gives you a foul smell, because he's eaten it once, should he continue doing more of it? Meaning, of course, you have to be mashlim. Now, that is actually only valid if we say that there will be now koiveya this day. Not like I said at the beginning, that originally you could have chosen past any day in the month. You find a similar concept with the Megillah on Shabbos on Yom Tov. If you didn't manage to lay in the Megillah on Shabbos, you were allowed to land it any time on the Yom Tov, because the Megillah was for Yom Tov. They were made it for Shabbos Lechatchila. But if you didn't manage Shabbos, you could have any other day. It's not the same with the Tainasim. Although originally it may well have been like that, you had to have a Tainas during that month. But once Chachomim were koveya of the day, it's now become a Chiyuv, like we said, like the Shulchan said, Chayovim. And since it's a Chiyuv, it's got to be that day only. Since it's that day only, the fact you've eaten a bit doesn't stop you from finishing off. So therefore, all the Poskim Paskim, if you ate, you continue with the times. Just because you've broken your fast is no excuse. But by the same token, it wouldn't really help to have a fast on another day. However, having said that, you'll find sources which say that it's a good thing, although not a chiyuv, it's a good thing to make a tainus on another day during the month, and they suggest doing it on behalf. Since many people fast on behalf anyhow, if you by accident or for some reason broke your fast on a celebratavus, you should be mashlim the fast and not eat any more as soon as you realise it. But instead, if even though you're not chayiv, lechakhila, it would be nice if you took another day during that month on which to fast, and the suggestion would be on behalf. That's what's mentioned. The next shayla, which is a fascinating shayla, is this. What would happen if you made a brocha, brocha to Hashem, elokeinu melech v'lam, sha'akun yevetvoro, and as the food going into your mouth, as the food is going into the mouth, you realize, it is asar b'tavis. Now, had it been Yom Kippur, there wouldn't be much shayla. Because on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat the derisa, right? So and it could be a chiyav kares. So you can't possibly suggest that should be the bracha of atola should be doing it. But on asar b'tavis, what's the big deal? You've broken the fast. Yeah. But it's a minute you saw, you're not allowed to. At the same time, you can't have a brocha levatol. So what should you do? So as Rabbi Yosef says here, there is in fact a machlokes ha-poskim as to what to do. According to the Tanaim in Hogim, he quotes from the Zechoy Avram b'shem Shevet Yehuda, right? And so is to be found in a sefer called Tal Oiros. Yiflot v'lo yochal. You spit it out, and you don't eat it, and you say instead, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Ved. Because Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Olam Ved takes away the chayma of the brocha levatola to some extent. You see, the shayla here is this, which is more important? The issa of brocha levatola, which could even be a deraisa. According to certain shittas, the brocha levatola could be a deraisa. However, most poskim agree that even if it were a deraisa, that's only when you're doing it lahachi, so to speak, just saying it with no reason. But if you are saying it as a sort of teferes for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or you say the Baruch Shem, that to some extent is misakin it, and therefore it may not even be so serious. Mashen came eating, you're breaking a complete... you're breaking it from Didin. And there's also the question, Sheval Tasa Odif. When you don't know what to do, it's better not to do anything than to do something positive to put it right. So that's some poskim say that. However, he quotes from the Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef says that you should eat Pachas Mikazayas. Because although there's a din of Chatzis Shir as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, a chatzis shir is also midrash. So here we're talking in a drabonon. And a chatzis shir in an issa drabonon is not as serious as all that. And therefore he suggests that rather than allowing a bracha levatolah to take place, it's already, you made the bracha, so eat a tiny little drop, eat a pachas mikashir, and then there's no bracha levatolah, and okay, what you've done on a sarah patevis wasn't the right thing to do, but as we said before, you can still be mashlim, and it would be able to do that. You say this is machlos
halacha.
He passes out the bekers, which is the word the Sfaradim would pass. I'm not sure how the Ashkenazim would actually paskin. They're probably paskin that you should think more carefully before you make a bracha and realize what day it is.
and not
do this sort of
thing.
If it came out that this came about, I do not know what the whatever you do, it's two ways of looking. Yeah. Whatever you do is right, and whatever you do is wrong. So the Maisa, what we're seeing is that the purpose of Asara Batavis, if you had your Kavona Ritzuya and you're thinking nothing else but the fast, then this problem should never arise. Because if you have the right Kavonas, you wouldn't get into problems of this sort. And there are people who say that you shouldn't even touch food on the Tainus. Ah, there's no issue whatsoever in touching the food. Nonetheless, he says, because of the chayma of the Indian of the day, you should take precautions and not get yourself into a situation which can cause any form of trouble. So we all hope, Mitzvah Hashem, that Asar Batavis and all the Tainesim should be mishapeh from Gzeres Amalchus and should become a Sholem.